Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Ladies and gentlemen, entering the podcast ring at this time, with a combined weight of 860 pounds, are the new tag team champions, the Super Size Guys. First, representing This Week in Geek and hailing from parts unknown, he is Mike, the Birdman, Dodd.
Somebody stop the damn man!
And his podcasting partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network, and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is TFG1, Mike Blanchard. These two podcasting giants have joined forces in the World Podcasting Federation. This is Mayhem Mike's. And now, let's get ready to podcast.
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mike's. Thank you once again to TV's Mr. Neil for that.
Technology Truths, brought to you by Geico.
Technology Truths.
Truth, teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at geico.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
A lovely introduction. Once again, as usual, for now, for however the hell long we're going to do it, we have the guest referee of Ryan and Even Flow Merkley with us. Hello, Ryan.
Yay.
And, of course, Mike and I are here. This is Episode 7. You lucky assholes. You have two episodes of Mayhem Mike's in 1 month. How lucky are you?
On the road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Probably gonna suck.
It's a very shitty road right now. So, the announcer himself, TV's Mr. Neil, had a reaction to this month's pay-per-view, so we're going to get to that, and then we'll come back with our reaction, his reaction, and then our reactions to the royally fucked up Rumble.
And then our reaction to his reactions, and then our reaction to his reaction about our reaction, and then, oh, sorry.
It's madness!
It's an endless loop, people. It's just on repeat. We'll be back in a moment.
Really? WWE had to do something so stupid that I came out of my podcasting exile just to bitch about it. So Triple H is not only the Royal Rumble winner, but he's also your WWE champion. I'm sorry, I thought it was 2016, not 1998. I mean, here's what I thought was going to happen. I have not been watching wrestling at all lately. But what I thought was going to happen is that this was just going to be a normal Royal Rumble, and then Brock was going to win, and Roman Reigns was going to turn heel, and then the WrestleMania main event was going to be awesome because it was going to be those two, and Brock could beat the shit out of him, and I could sit there and clap and buy the network and be happy. But no, that's not what happened. Triple H. This is why I don't watch. Guys, let me know when you want to talk about classic wrestling. I will be there. This is bullshit, though. Total bullshit.
From the many, one will rise. 30 superstars, one monumental task. Outlast 29 others. Carve your destiny. And for the first time in WWE history, it's one versus all.
as WWE World Heavyweight Champion Roman Reigns is forced to defend his title in the Royal Rumble match.
So the Royal Rumble has killed Neil's fandom of WWE, apparently. Thank you, Neil. That was some reaction.
Remember last week when I was all, like, excited and talking about, you know, how interesting the Royal Rumble could be and that they could push some younger stars and we could see somebody new in the mix? Holy shit, was I wrong.
My God. We were fools to hope.
Instead, they trotted out the Crypt Keeper to win the title. Anyway.
You know, it would have almost been better.
Actually, sorry, Flair is pretty much the Crypt Keeper at this point, but anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so Royal Rumble 2016 happened.
Who would have thought the pre-show reaction to Damian Sandow would be one of the most exciting parts of the entire Rumble?
When was the last time he wrestled before this? Maybe on Superstars?
Yeah, the Axelmania stuff. And then, of course, we got into the Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan tape. And wow, that got shelved, and he hasn't appeared in forever.
Mm-hmm. So last week, or whenever the hell we did episode 6, we kept saying how much they're scrambling to come up with storylines that are going to entertain the masses.
And holy shit, was that evident.
I'm sorry, folks. You know, I have been to several wrestling events in my lifetime, not anything in the last 10 or so years, but I've been to some of these events, so I know what it's like being there. But I'm sorry, you know, when Michael Cole comes in or when whoever the hell else, the color commentator comes in and says, oh, we're sitting in front of blah, 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 thousands and thousands of people. You're all fucking sheep. Anyone that buys a damn ticket to go to one of the, especially this pay-per-view.
I gotta say, though, this crowd was awesome. No, seriously, yeah. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, you could tell they were not happy with an awful lot of that, might I add. And just, I don't know, it was interesting.
Did you guys hear in the first match, which we'll talk about in a second, did you hear in the first match the fan basically heckling Owens, and Owens almost nearly talking back to the guy?
He did! He's like, Thanksgiving's in November, moron!
Well, there was another one across the ring after that where he was setting up the double tables, and he's like, oh, I like your tattoo. It's just like The Rock's.
I heard that too, yeah.
He is entertaining. He just is.
He is.
I think to a certain extent that hurts him. We'll get into why when we talk about the finale. Like, I got a reason for that that ties in pretty much to why things ended the way they did. But, yeah, I thought this was a fun crowd, though. Like, they gave Sandow the chance and everything. Like, they admired guys who worked really hard and tried, which is probably why a certain person with the RR initials got booed really, really heavily, because he had to put in like 10 minutes of work tonight. Can we get to something good before I go off the deep end?
Something that we are going to go off the deep end. And the first match was absolutely amazing. The first match might have been my favorite match of the whole night. Was Ambrose versus Owens.
I'd agree really with you, by the way.
It was fucking, like, I want to see these guys do more of, I want to see, as long as the storyline, like, finding a good enough reason for them to feud, like, over the championship or whatever. As long as that continues, as long as the storyline doesn't suck, these two are easily the best athletes in the ring right now at this pay-per-view for Royal Rumble.
Well, there's one more, I'd argue, but he was a bit of a surprise.
Match with each other.
In terms of an individual match, this was the highlight of the night.
It's weird, because I said this last week, that it felt like the two of them just hadn't really meshed quite as well as you would sort of expect the two of them to. And no, this time they really did. They put it all together the way I always kind of thought these guys could do. And they put on a, you know, I would say at least 4.5 or so stars out of 5 match. This was solid. Like, I was really impressed with both. And there were some good spots. You know, they had the cannonball through the barricade. They had... Oh, excuse me. I love Owens swinging fisherman suplex off the top rope. And then they did it through a table this time.
Yeah.
That was nice. The moves onto the open chairs was different and pretty cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff that was kind of different that you don't always see in a table ladders or chairs match. And I know this was a last man standing match, but I'm just saying, like, you know, you don't always see that this much stuff in a match with those three items, although there's no ladder, but anyway, they still,
there was a lot of physicality. And I'd be surprised there wasn't blood.
Yeah.
I'm kind of happy there wasn't, because this is the first real, like, matchup between the two of them where the way I look at it is Dean is always very flippant and kind of sarcastic about it all and everything else. And, you know, he's obviously he's the face in this. And Owens this time, Owens looked like he just was ready to kill the guy. I mean, Owens was so pissed, and that's what worked for him. And that's what worked for the story of the match, watching these two fight and beat the living crap out of each other. So I'm kind of glad, like, blood to me should be like the middle match or the final match of whatever you're going to set up. Like, that shouldn't be the first thing that happens in a first, like, real meetup where both competitors are really into it.
To be fair, this would have been a better ending than what we had, though, too. I mean, I can sort of understand.
I don't know. I was pretty shocked when Dean flipped him into the double. I was not expecting him to do that.
Oh, the end, yeah. Well, I meant just like the end of this match would have been better than, say, the match we had to end the Rumble.
Oh,
because, but yeah, I'm kind of, this was a weird match too, in that both guys came off looking great, and it's another sort of, it's another sign of the talent these two guys had, because you're completely right. Like, I thought Owens looked fantastic in a loss. Too bad they took a gigantic dump all over him later and completely trashed him. And Dean, out of everybody that performed at the Royal Rumble, Dean came off by far the best, period, overall. Because they gave him a great performance in the actual Rumble.
Yep.
And actually let him do things instead of a lot of other guys. Like, Owens was just kind of there for a bit. He had two guys jump him, like first Ambrose and then later on Sami Zayn, which was nice. I really like Zayn. But
I thought that was kind of cool, because they hinted at that at the beginning of Owens' debut, where he kept, when he was still the NXT champion, they kept hinting at, oh, he turned on his best friend, he did this, he sent his best friend to the hospital, he's going to be out for months and months, whatever else. So for someone who doesn't watch NXT like you guys do, I thought that was really cool, because I knew exactly who Sami Zayn was. I knew exactly why Sami was pissed, because of what I had already learned beforehand.
And Zayn is an incredible talent. If he's back to 100%, sky's the limit for him too. But having said that, after this and after what happened to him in the Rumble, Owens has no direction right now. I don't think they have a clue what they're doing with him. And I don't know where he goes. If he feuds with Zayn, that's a colossal step down. He would have.
Yeah, he needs to be feuding with, like, Ambrose or someone bigger.
Well, he would be going from feuding with Ambrose, who right now is quite clearly the number two face in the company, and certainly in terms of reaction and everything else. Just to be blunt, he's the number one guy in the company.
Yeah,
But Owens would be going from that, if they do a Zayn thing, to feuding with somebody from NXT again. Like, it's a big step down, and that's not an insult to Sami Zayn. Zayn, like I say, if he's 100%, he's going to be big, and he's going to be... Yeah. That was another thing, too. I thought the crowd knew who everyone was, so they were obviously fans. Like, the crowd knew who Zayn was and knew he was going after Owens. So that was kind of neat. Not to mention the crowd knew who Styles was, which was really cool. Back to, like, this match, though. This was really good. And, I wasn't surprised Ambrose won. I was kind of hoping Ambrose would win, because I thought the idea was they'd move Owens up further, because, to be blunt, they have no heels at the top. You know, unless they were to drag somebody basically old out of retirement for no apparent reason with no setup. But that would be crazy. I mean, that's just stupid talk. So obviously, you know, you want a guy like Owens near the top since he's young and he's one of your only heels. You don't want some, like, old guy coming in for no reason, randomly soaking
well,
up
we'll
the...
we'll get to that.
Randomly
we'll get to that.
Soaking up the spotlight like it's well, the yeah. 90s.
Well, we'll get to that. Mike, any other thoughts on Ambrose versus Owens?
I really, like I said, I really enjoyed this match. I love the physicality. Seeing them work together was a real joy. But like Ryan said, I wonder, where does Owens go next? And unless they build him up the right way, he's gonna any power he has is gonna fade. But put him on the microphone, he'll still be entertaining as all shit. But
yeah, by the way,
what he can do in the ring, I don't know. Yeah.
And by the way, we keep talking about Owens because he's another guy. Sky's the limit. We keep talking about where he goes from this. Where does Ambrose go for this? He holds the Intercontinental title, but I'm just going to be blunt. They should have put the damn belt on him that night.
Ambrose?
I don't think you're ever going to get a hotter crowd for Ambrose. Like, they were going nuts
okay,
for the guy.
Like, if you wanted him to be the next, not the next, but you wanted him to be the Intercontinental Seth Rollins, pretty much. You wanted him to have both belts, like
even
Seth
if he
had
lost
both
the
belts,
belt,
or even
in
have
like
him
a
drop
week or two,
this,
I would
yeah.
care.
Yeah,
but I mean, right now, like, his reaction was incredible. A and B, I think I was wrong last week. I think maybe the guy to hold the belt until the big names come back or until they can build somebody else. Maybe it's not Reigns, because, I mean, we saw the reaction for Reigns last night. We'll get into that a little later. But then, you know, compare that to the reaction for Ambrose. Like, it's night and day.
Yeah.
Ambrose
really
is over like crazy.
Ambrose has come up organically, whereas Reigns has been forced down your throat.
Yeah. You're 100% right. Anyway.
Well, because here's the thing: when they were the Shield, when it was him, Rollins, and Reigns as the Shield, Dean was kind of, he wasn't buried, but he was kind of that crazy outsider, kind of
he
only
was an
took the microphone when he. Well, yeah, he was at first, and then they gave a push to Rollins, and Rollins had all the success that he had, and then, like you guys said, they're trying to push Reigns on us, which I honestly don't mind. I like Reigns for the most part, but I like Dean more at this point. Like, I didn't give two shits about Dean when he was first in the Shield. I never wanted to see that guy again every time he opened his damn mouth when he was with the Shield. But on his own and doing his own thing and the whole Lunatic Fringe and the Ambrose Asylum and all, I just absolutely love it. By this point in the pay-per-view, I kept thinking, why is it Michael Cole, JBL, and Byron motherfucking... Where the fuck is King? What the hell did they do?
He was on the pre... You know what?
I know.
This was an opportunity to see what Saxton could do on a pay-per-view. And he wasn't bad, but he wasn't good either. He was very much...
Maybe I'm totally wrong, too, but to me, I thought King didn't sound 100% when he was on in the pre-show, too. I thought, like, there was something just kind of off about his voice. I mean, maybe I'm imagining it, or maybe it's just, you know, from hearing the guy for years, but...
Because I don't watch the pre-show. I can't deal with that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think he was 100%. I think maybe this was a health thing, possibly. Yeah, basically, well, like, he came in and maybe he just didn't sound right. Like, again, like I say, I could be totally off, but I thought, like, something sounded a bit off with him. He didn't sound like himself.
I don't know.
Could be anything.
Having,
could be just, like,
having
a cold,
King
but...
and Booker on the same team just it's just so wrong. And having... I cannot stand Byron. I just can't stand the guy. Like I said last episode, leave him on SmackDown with Ronaldo, because Ronaldo is honestly the new upcoming voice for the WWE. I know Cole is their main guy, but I mean, Ronaldo is just absolutely knocking it out of the park. But
can we just get to, like, you know, another 100 points or whatever to Kevin Owens for briefly knocking Cole out of action? Yeah, that was wonderful.
I wonder if that was really that planned. Like, because normally the announcers usually jump, like when they see them even coming close to the table, they will jump out of the way. And I just don't, I think Kevin was moving too fast, and I don't think Michael had enough time to get out of the way.
Yeah, that was too bad. I mean, no.
So next up, we have the tag team match of the Boudet versus the Usos. This was a good match. Yeah, it was fun for the most part.
Yeah, it's sort of a kind of a 6 out of 10 match. If I had to like put it was enjoyable. Nothing earth shattering. I didn't think the Usos were going to win or anything. And I will admit, the New Day entrance and introduction of Francesca too amused me.
The best thing that happened to the New Day was when Chris Jericho broke that goddamn thing.
I'm glad they got a new trumpet.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic. Francesca too. Yeah, I'm gonna lie. I wanted to hear the Final Fantasy theme though. That kind of made me sad.
Isn't that theme song like 7 minutes long?
No, that's just the
victory fanfare.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
Oh. All right, so the Boudet versus the Usos. We need new tag champs, please. Oh, no way.
These are some of the best things that happened to the tag team in years.
Yeah, the problem is there's nobody to challenge them, though. Like, that's the only
thing. Not really.
I would keep the belts on the New Day, yeah, because, I mean, in terms of reaction and everything, we're talking about Ambrose and Co. later. New Day gets a hell of a reaction every night. You can count on them to get the fans up, reacting and out of their seats for one reason or another. And there's not a lot of acts they have right now that you can say that about.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're going to discuss two of them in the next match.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What were you going to say, Mike?
I was about to say, one thing I love about the New Day and Ryan touched upon, they really know how to play to the audience. And when Xavier Woods interacts with Cole or JBL on commentary, I think it catches them just enough off guard that the spontaneity seems very, very, very genuine. Like I said, Ryan hit it right on the head. That they get the crowd on their feet. Yeah.
Well, you're
like,
right,
do you remember
too,
a year ago when people hated their guts? Now look at them.
Which I almost kind of miss. But I'll touch on that a little later. But, I mean, you're right. And one thing you mentioned, too, like their audience interaction, they pause and everything at the right time. Like they give the audience time to breathe and react to things, which is something some of the talkers don't do. Like some guys just try to go and like nail their lines and everything, and they don't necessarily wait to hear the reaction from it. And actually, you can say that about the wrestling too. Some guys work too fast and don't let the audience react to things. But yeah, in terms of the talking and everything, they do a great job.
I bought tickets to a live event. Actually, the network special in Toronto, my wife got me tickets for Valentine's
Day. I told you, see?
Oh, my God. I am so hyped for this. I can't wait to see the New Day live. In fact, because this event's going to be televised, look for really fucked up signs from me.
Oh, no.
I may actually try to advertise this podcast with hashtag Mayhem Mites and hashtag I love cheese.
Tell Kevin that he's... Tell Kevin he's the reason I'm still watching Raw.
Up next, we had yet another snorefest. Alberto Del Rio versus Kalisto. Fast forward.
Give the guys credit.
It wasn't a bad match.
Yeah, I thought they put on a good match with some really good moves. The problem is I don't feel much for either of these guys. It feels like Del Rio has stuttered since coming back. And Kalisto, you know, he's the United States...
He has no personality.
Yeah, he's the United States champion and kind of yipty-doo. Like, what else? Where else can you go with the guy? You can't have him in a feud with anyone. If he gets into a feud with someone like an Owens or somebody who can talk, like a really good talking heel, he's going to get killed.
Can I point something out about this match in particular?
Hmm?
Especially with the current political climate. Do you not find it amusing that two Mexican wrestlers are fighting for the United States Championship?
Maybe they're hoping to have Trump at WrestleMania, and he'll come in and steal it from both of them. He'll tell them that they're both rapists and steal the title.
He'll be like, I'm going to build a wall. No. But the thing about this match is there were some really good spots, but right at the end, it got so sloppy. It's sort of Alberto Del Rio's like, man, fuck, I got to go to the bathroom. Can we wrap this up, please?
Well, that's kind of what you get with the Lucha Dragons, I find, though, is that you'll get a lot of like really neat moves and stuff, but man, will they botch on occasion. Although, by the way, Baron Strowman wins in terms of like botch of the evening, as he botched. He repeatedly botched, and he almost broke the Big Show's leg. But anyway, this match was just there. Like, it's another...
Go to the bathroom match.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the stuff I'm going to get upset about later, this entire pay-per-view feels like a 6 out of 10 go to the bathroom. Like, it feels like Ambrose Owens was completely out of place and was some sort of accident that they horribly messed up, and they included this amazing match in what was supposed to be a yawn fest for Insomniacs.
Yep. Then we had Sasha versus Charlotte for the Divas Champ.
I think you mean Becky versus Charlotte, but thank goodness for that ending.
Becky versus Charlotte for the Divas Champ.
This was a good match, but it got hurt by an ending that was a friggin' mess. What the hell was that?
Get Flair out of there!
What is...
He
is destroying any sort of credibility in anything Charlotte had. Also, by the way, how does throwing a jacket on somebody when they've got someone else in a submission cause a problem? Just leave it on. Like, what the hell? It didn't even make sense. Like, it was a stupid finish.
You know, and like you said, Mike, last episode, you know, there was this whole Divas Revolution thing, and now that's just kind of gone to the wayside. Now that they've gotten rid of the Bellas, now that Paige is wherever the hell Paige
is,
throwing a jacket on somebody in a submission, by the way, less cool than throwing your shoe at George W. Bush. You can call it right now, and less disruptive. What the hell? Like, this, and it ticks me off because this was actually a pretty good match that I feel like if it wasn't for the sloppy ending, people would have been pretty impressed with. But then the end is just a friggin' I don't know what it was. I don't know if somebody screwed up. If that's the planned ending, then yeah, somebody screwed up and his name's the writer.
It's almost like Vince Russo's hiding in the back somewhere right here.
Oh no, it's Ric Flair on a pole for the next pay-per-view.
I get she's his daughter, but I don't understand why he's all like...
It's because she can't talk. She needs him there as like the mouthpiece.
She's not bad. I think you leave her on her own though and let her sort of grow into it and that kind of thing. Like, just having him come in and take over, I hate to say it, but he's not Paul Heyman, and he's not what he was even. And, man, is there a nice way to reference his like obvious drinking problem? So that's an issue to me too. The only thing that saved this at all, of course, is the ending where Sasha comes out.
Yeah, and she looked good.
And we're talking about people who organically get over and the crowd is organically behind and just goes nuts the same way they did for Daniel Bryan. She's right up there. Like, the reaction for her was insane.
Count how many signs there are for her or Becky Lynch on any given
night. And she wasn't even scheduled.
Yeah, like,
everyone's got a Sasha sign and she's not even scheduled to be at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That should tell you something about her being over, because people used to do that with Brian all the time as well, and same sort of thing. And so, yeah, she comes out, and for anyone who didn't see, we should actually like summarize some of this. Charlotte won, by the way, in a friggin' botch fest. I don't know what the hell the end was. And then Sasha comes out and throws Becky out of the ring, which I thought was interesting and a nice sort of heel move. She sort of gets friendly with Charlotte. They kind of not high five, but whatever the, you know.
They nearly kiss. Come on.
My God, I was hoping they'd make out.
Oh, geez. Anyway, so seems like they come to an understanding. And then as Charlotte, like, tries to get out of the ring, Sasha hits her with the backstabber and then locks in the bank statement and leaves her sort of on the lying down in the middle of the ring out. So that was kind of neat. And yeah, the fans just went crazy for her, which is pretty neat. So
for everyone that can't see this, because this is audio and all that stuff, when the Royal Rumble was happening, I watch it at like 2 a.m. on WWE Network. I don't watch it live. So I wake up at 2 o'clock the morning that this was recorded, and there's like 25 different messages on my Facebook conversation with Mike and Ryan. And I'm like, I just said to myself, I can't even fucking look at that. I haven't even watched the damn thing yet. So after I watch the pay-per-view, I go back and I read through the thread. And the best thing that Ryan said out of that whole thing, Heyman, Edge, and Christian are the new announced team.
Yeah, it's true. That'd be awesome.
I would give so much money for that.
So in total, people, for this pay-per-view, because it is the Royal Rumble, we had four other matches before the Rumble. Now, what do we think of them doing? Like we've already said, two of these matches were almost complete snorefests.
Yeah, and a botched finish ruined what I think would have been another very good, like, at least seven and a half, maybe much higher, Divas match. God damn that name. Women's wrestling match. Hell with it. Screw you, WWF, E, whatever. I'm okay with this format if, they put on better matches instead of ones like... Listen, I like the Usos. I'm not trying to take anything away from them. And obviously, I really like the New Day, but there was no point to that match. I mean, nobody thought the Usos were going to win. We haven't heard much from them. They don't get much of a reaction. I mean, some of the people sort of chant along with them, and then they all go take a nap as soon as the match starts. Yeah. And then, yeah, Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio, like, I want to like Del Rio, but it just seems like his career's on cruise control since he got back and since the Cena injury really derailed whatever plans they had for him. And
it's Kalisto, almost like he doesn't respect the people that he's fighting to not give 110%.
I just wish he would not because of how whether I dislike him or not, which I just don't care either way about Alberto Del Rio, but I honestly just wish he would have never come back. I mean... like Ryan said, it doesn't seem like, or like Mike said, it doesn't seem like he's even giving a crap.
Well, you have to give him the right opponents, though. I mean, the thing with Del Rio is you put him against a Cena, you'll get a great match. Put him against an Owens, great match. Ambrose, great match. Put him against Kalisto, who gives a fuck? Put him against Dolph Ziggler, you might get something good, depending on how hot Dolph is at the time. It's almost like... Del Rio's like, okay, I care. Here's a performance. Otherwise, paycheck, clock in, clock out.
Can you blame him, though? Like, can you really blame him, though? Because right now, he's going against a statue. I mean, he's against a guy who he literally really can't have exchanges with verbally. So he can't kind of get heat or can't, you know, get the match really hyped up. Yeah, and then you go out and... I mean, you go out with them, and I like the Lucha Dragons. I'm trying really hard not to be mean about it, but at this point in his career, he's basically, Kalisto's just sort of a spot guy. Like, he doesn't have the skill that Rey Mysterio had, which is kind of an unfair...
Or does he have the ring presence?
Yeah, and that's sort of an unfair thing to say, by the way, because, I mean, there's not a lot of wrestlers that have the skill Rey Mysterio has. Like, he's a... first ballot Hall of Famer, if there's such a thing. Like, was one of the greats, and so...
Is he not in yet?
I can't remember. I don't think so.
Jeez.
In any case, like, he's a guy that he's had an insane, like, just a terrific career. I'm saying insane way too much. And he's an all-time great, so comparing him is a little unfair. But it is a similar style, and Ray kind of went through that a long time ago. We're talking maybe early in his WCW career, but I'd argue even by the time he got there, he was really refined, and he could just do a match and it would feel organic. It would flow. Whereas Kalisto's matches, it feels like there's a bit of nothing and then a spot. Bit of nothing, then a spot. And that's a really hard thing to get out of. Like there are guys that have been doing this for decades who can't get out of that. So
now, Kalisto is part of Lucha Dragons, right?
Yes.
So how often, or was this the first time he had a singles match?
No, he's had a couple of singles matches.
Okay,
I think this began back at Survivor Series, didn't it? Where he got a chance to go for the belt.
Okay, because I was gonna say I don't remember. Like you guys said, Rey Mysterio is the end-all, be-all when it comes to the lucha style in WWE, at least. But it's one of those things where I just haven't noticed at all when they put a tag team together of like the Lucha Dragons or whatever the hell else. It's like, and then they take one of those tag team members and try to give them a singles career. It's like, unless I really take notice of them as a tag team, which, as everyone knows, as I've said the last three or four episodes of this show, I am so far out of the tag division as far as
enjoying it. Almost seems like they want to give Kalisto a push, because it's almost like Sin Cara is just there to fill a spot.
Yeah.
Well, Sin Cara is a guy they signed for a lot, or he's been more than one person now. He's a persona they signed for quite a bit of money to try to bring in that market, and it just hasn't worked. Like, the various people that have been Sin Cara have basically been botch fests, and...
Well, the first guy that was Sin Cara back when Rey was still kind of around, I remember there was a couple of matches where Rey and Sin Cara were a tag team.
Yeah.
And they worked well together. It was amazing. It was awesome. It looked so good. And then the first guy, whoever the hell he really is, whatever, went off and did other stuff or quit or did something.
He botched too many moves and they got rid of him. He started injuring guys.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm just so not... I don't
remember which one it was that Sheamus power bombed through the ladder. That couldn't have felt good, but yeah, just...
Speaking of ladders, can we... Okay, I know we're going to go in order and talk about all the entrants and all that stuff with the Rumble, but I got to say... The funniest, coolest thing out of the Rumble for me was when R-Truth came in.
That just seemed really out of left field.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. I feel like they could have used that for something useful. Instead, they threw away way too many spots in this. I mean, Swagger was useless. He goes out immediately. Mark Henry, useless, goes out immediately.
I blinked and he was gone.
Yeah, just terrible. And all these guys who you knew weren't going to compete. I mean, Jericho was there for a long time, but he didn't do an awful lot useful.
I think he was, number six in? He sat in the corner for three quarters of the match?
He was six in. According to Michael Cole, he was in the match 52, 53 minutes in total.
Yeah, and it didn't feel like he did an awful lot. He had a couple things with AJ Styles, who, by the way, Styles, there's, you're probably your biggest surprise, although a lot of people knew he was on his way in anyway. But he's an amazing wrestler. I'm excited to see what he does in WWE, and hopefully they actually push him. And they gave him a good showing in the Rumble, which I was happy about. And by the way, anyway, going back to sort of wasted spots. For a guy who has the most eliminations, most appearance, and everything else, Kane had a crap showing.
Yeah,
like, this was easily Kane's worst showing in a Rumble. It was kind of weird. Big Show didn't get to do much.
Big Show didn't get, like, I thought Big Show coming in, I thought that was going to be a game changer. I thought Big Show was going to be able to get rid of Strowman.
No, because Strowman's super powerful.
Oh my God!
I know.
Oh, wait.
They need to stop pushing him.
They need to stop with the Wyatt family altogether.
No. That's not true. The Wyatt family is great when they're written properly. When you put them in a feud against people that matter, they can be mm-hmm. great. Bray Wyatt himself is fantastic. When you use the goon squad of Strowman, Harper, and Rowan, they can be great goons. They're individually, they suck. Maybe Harper is okay on his own-ish, but Rowan and Strowman just...
Yeah, Harper is a guy who I think on his own is going to succeed someday. But the others, no. Rowan, I don't know if we'll even recognize him afterwards when he inevitably gets repackaged someway. And Strowman is just a bad wrestler.
He botches every pay-per-view he's on.
He needs so much work at this point. Like, what the hell? Where'd they find him? Did they pick him off the street?
He was a rosebud for a while.
No, I know. I know where they did actually find him, but it seems like they picked him up off the street, gave him... you know, 5-minute lesson in NXT and said, like, all right, go beat somebody up. Like,
You know what he is? He's the male Eva Marie.
Ouch.
He looks great, but he sucks.
Isn't she the face of Fastlane this year?
Yeah, which doesn't make any sense because she's not getting pushed at all, so...
Is she going to start showing up on TV because she is the face of
Fastlane? She does do stuff on NXT, but all she does is promos. And she's like, look at me, I'm hot and I'm a heel.
I'll give her some credit. Her match with Bayley was actually pretty good. But then afterwards, yeah, not great. And it looks like she's going to feud with Asuka. Asuka, who has a bajillion times more talent. And
Asuka should eat her alive.
Yeah, Asuka could probably be in the WWE fairly soon and be ready. Like, she's a wrestler who's been around for a while. And by the way, in terms of skill and in terms of actually real life for a second, which I don't talk about much in terms of wrestling, she would beat the shit out of most of the WWE locker room. And I mean for real. Yeah. She is a legitimate badass trained in a variety of fighting styles and everything in real life, not as a wrestling persona. So
it's one of the reasons why I've always said, you know, you have Ronda Rousey come in there and she'll kick everybody's ass no matter who the hell they are.
Yeah. So anyway, back to this thing, though. I was surprised to Owens. We talked about it before, was super over with this crowd. It was kind of neat to see Owens actually get booed the way he's supposed to because he eliminates AJ Styles. Fans kept chanting for Styles afterwards as well, which, by the way, great job, WWE, because everyone who they chant for or they're sad to see go, you know, none of them are involved in it.
Yeah, can we talk about the chants for a minute? There were several times in this pay-per-view, and before I even hit, you know, as soon as you hit play on the pay-per-view, it says TVPG, and then it has violence on it, okay? There were at least two, maybe three different times in this pay-per-view where the audience was doing a holy shit chant.
Mostly like, during Owens.
Ambrose. I get it. I get it that it's pay-per-view. I get it that it's on the WWE Network. I get any moron who pays $70-something for this on cable is paying for it. But if WWE is supposed to have this PG image and only say damn and hell every now and then, why the hell is the audience doing holy shit chants?
Well, you should watch.
Why did they allow
it? Well, you should watch Raw because it happens a lot in that on it too.
I do watch Raw.
I'm saying holy shit. Really? I hear it all.
I don't ever hear them do holy shit chants.
Hear the odd holy shit chant.
It definitely happens. NXT as well.
First time I've heard it. Well, yeah, but again, NXT. It's I don't know. All right, so let's talk about the Raw before the Rumble, because is it the Raw before the Rumble that they had the stupid churning thing of?
Yeah, that was the Raw, and they gave
Basic Powerball.
Yeah, and they gave Reigns. Number one.
Why the hell even do that? Why not just come out and instead of wasting all that time?
Because they want it. Because it's the John Cena booking, and this is why people hate Reigns, and it's why they hated Cena. They're not letting him do anything organically. They just say, we're going to stack the odds, and then we're going to have, in a completely unrealistic and stupid fashion, even for wrestling, they're going to have him overcome the odds. And you know what? Even though he didn't win the title, they still did that with Reigns because they had the League of Nations. Everyone beats the crap out of Reigns. Every single one of them hits their finisher or one of their like power moves or kick or whatever. They throw him against the steps some more. They have Rusev splash him through a table, and then he comes out and he's fine later on, which is stupid. Like, what's the point of having a match against a guy who apparently can shrug off like a severe beating that a video game character would be down from?
Yeah. It's kind of like how like Dean Ambrose can survive a crushed trachea a week later. It's because nobody thinks about it.
It's so frustrating. It's the same thing. Like, people have nicknamed Cena Super Cena because it's annoying how he'll have fight through the odds of having to fight, you know, 16 guys on the same night or something, which is just dumb. If anyone's
he has permanent god mode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's what they're doing with Reigns. And you said it earlier that Ambrose, Owens, Rollins, all these guys get over organically. It's not because somebody says, you know what, you fans should cheer for this guy because he's amazing and he can beat all the odds. That's not how it works. You can't.
Roman Reigns is the product of marketing.
Yeah, you can't.
He is a focus group.
You can't force the overall, especially the IWC, the internet wrestling community, you can't force them to like guys. That doesn't work. And it's happening again with this. This whole Rumble was a bunch of wasted opportunities. There's so many young guys they could have pushed, so many other things they could do, but they did every safe thing they could. They had Reigns look like a god. They had Lesnar look... Lesnar
comes in at 23. But not threatening.
Yeah, but what the hell happened with the old rules of you get eliminated for the Rumble and the refs slowly escort you to the back? Like, it's happened before. Guys have come back in, but it's very rare. Much less, I don't know, not having any refs out there and letting entire families back in. What the hell?
Yeah,
that's poor security.
Yeah, you want to talk about someone that needs to be arrested right there. That's where you need to put on. Now, I don't know, and you guys will tell me.
Uh-oh.
When they had Vince arrested, when they had Stephanie arrested, was it a year ago or so when she smacked Brie or whatever the hell it was? Are those actual cops or are those
just
security
guys? Oh, no, those are just people they pay to put in costumes.
Yeah, it's usually actors.
Okay, because I didn't want to sit there and insult actual police officers, but it's one of those.
When we get to the WCW rewatch, by the way, we're going to see an instance where people called actual cops in.
Okay.
Because they thought the guy broke his neck or something.
As in the audience bought what was going on to the point that they called the police.
Oh, boy. All right, so Brock comes in at number 23. You already have the entire, if not, well, except I think I don't think Bray was in there yet, but you have the entire Wyatt family except for Bray in there. And Brock next to Strowman just looks like a fucking midget.
He's short, but yeah, he's about six times wider.
I mean, well, I'm saying, like, every time I've seen them show anything with Brock in the last year and a half, 2 years, he's always the biggest guy in the room. Even next to Undertaker, the two of them look like giants, you know. And in this match, in this Royal Rumble, Brock looked so fucking small next to Strowman. And I'm like, for once in my life, for once that as long as we've been doing this show, I was actually rooting for Brock to beat the entire Wyatt family.
Which he did.
Well, he did. Except well, and then, they, and then they cheated. But yeah, I mean, you know, just wow. I never thought I would be sitting here rooting for Brock Lesnar to win anything in the WWE.
Well, at that point, Brock and Bray were my only hopes because, and you'll see that you would have seen this in our messages, but I mean, both Mike and I thought and knew that Reigns was going to come back, and I figured he was just going to win the whole thing.
Yeah. I think with the ending, I think we can all agree we would have rather had Reigns win it at this point.
I'm actually...
Really?
Yeah, I'm better with this ending than with Reigns just winning it. Because then...
Really?
Yeah, because honestly, at that point, if Reigns wins this, if he goes from one, he takes a beating from everybody's finisher and then still wins the Royal Rumble, then I think you should just get rid of the WWE because no human alive could ever beat this guy.
The only other one in individual entrant that I want to talk about is probably, at first, the most smartest guy in the room, it seems.
Oh, Miz?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Miz comes out.
Miz was entertaining.
I thought that was actually kind of funny.
Miz comes out, goes straight to the announce table, and just sits down and basically just... And no one even pays the attention to him until he eventually gets in the ring. And then, who was it? Was it Brock? Or I don't even know, Strowman. Somebody threw him out. But I thought Miz's entrance was pretty friggin' cool.
Also, by the way, that's another rule that, for whatever reason, they decided to ignore. You used to be automatically eliminated if you were not in the ring by the time the next person comes out, but they decided to just drop that.
Dang.
That's another rule that, for whatever reason, they just forgot about in this Rumble. They've forgotten about it before, by the way, but... Yeah, in this rule, it seemed like all the Rumble rules were out the window. They just flat out made it no DQ.
Yeah. And so, number 30, we get to it, and it's Triple H. And
you know what's funny? There's another podcast that I listen to about wrestling, and they're from Machinima.com, Steven Larson. They called this a month ago.
Yeah, a couple podcasts.
They knew Triple H was going to win right from the get-go.
A couple podcasts I listened to did as well. And yeah, it feels like this was the boring, safe move, which is what they've been doing for months now. And just, I don't know, instead of taking a chance, that's all they did. And I mean, you heard the crowd. Like, the crowd was legitimately angry. And I'll say that... They
3 years in a row, the Rumbles have been booed. That should
now, I mean, somebody. At least in this case, it's a heel being booed, and that's what you want if you're WWE. And I'll say this, you know, I was mentioning it earlier that as much as I love Owens, he hasn't done a good enough job to get himself hated. You know, people still want to cheer him. Now, part of it is because guys like him, Rollins, and... there's somebody else I was thinking of who doesn't come to mind right now. But anyway, guys like Ian Rollins, we'll say, are so good at what they do, people want to cheer them. The problem is they're not good enough at what they do to make the people still hate them. And I think Owens is more than good enough if they would, I don't know, actually invest some time and effort into him as a character and give him some time. He'll get there. He's more than good enough to get there. But for now, you know, they're not doing anything with him to facilitate that. And Rollins is on the shelf. Although Rollins did a pretty good job of getting booed regardless. So at least now they've got a heel at the top who's getting booed. The problem is that heel is 46 years old and is not going to wrestle on a weekly basis. So you're stuck with a title that's not being defended again. And guess what? Your United States title is on a guy no one cares about because nobody reacted to that. And then, the only guy who's a face who you want to get a good reaction and who had probably the best reaction of the night, you decided to have him lose to Hunter, and he's the Intercontinental title. So it looks like that's going to be the big belt that gets defended for a while, which, by the way, is not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a question
of... it's finally good that the IC has some prestige to it again, because a friend of mine, Spoonie, had said for a long time the Intercontinental belt was like the belt you wanted to kick in the fucking sewer, because it meant you were doomed to lose every single match until you got it off you.
The belt is supposed to be the number two belt in the company, and I think that's what it'll be again. The problem is they have it on a guy who should probably be the number one face in the company right now based on reaction from the fans.
Yeah,
and that's a possible. Well, it's kind of a mistake. So,
I mean, I would have liked to have seen it be Ambrose winning, but you know, both. Obviously, he's already got the IC. Have him win the actual championship belt, and then have him lose it on a, you know, either the next pay-per-view or have him do a John Cena where it's like, hey, open challenge for the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I don't even know what they would do with it. But the way it is now, it's like, you know, I said in our messages, what obviously people can't say, I'm like, okay, so I thought Triple H was retired from active wrestling. And I thought because he was the COO of the company, he wasn't really – I mean, you don't see – okay, sure. In the weeks leading up to this pay-per-view, you know, the first few weeks of the year here, we saw Vince kind of get back into it. He special guest referee. He got Superman punched like 10 different damn times. But, I mean, you don't see Vince McMahon do – until Triple H got hurt, we hadn't seen Vince on TV in a really, really long time unless it was some sort of special, super special thing or unless it was something that he needed to be there for. And it's like the thing with Triple H is like you said, Ryan, he's not going to defend that shit on Raw, you know, the next night after a pay-per-view or a SmackDown or hell, even a Superstars or an NXT. He's not even going to do it. So it's like, what are they going to do with the damn belt now? Where are they going to put it? Are they going to have Roman come back and just somehow rip it off of him fairly quickly? Where are they going to go? This is one of the reasons why I wanted either Ambrose or Reigns to just go ahead and take it and just fucking leave Hunter in the dust because.
And where does anybody go though? Like you bring up Ambrose again. Let's say he won the title. You've got a ton of different new built-in feuds for that title, but as it is now. Well, obviously, Reigns is going to feud with Hunter for the title.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who does Ambrose feud with? You just had him fight Owens for a while. He's your only heel that's remotely up there. My guess is, by the way, he's going to end up feuding with the League of Nations, which yip-de-doo. Talk about a...
My God, what a the bad League idea
of,
that is.
The League of Nations is less over than the Social Outcasts.
At least the Social Outcasts are, like, entertaining.
Yeah, no kidding. Like, and they can actually talk.
I was wondering where Zack Slater went. Or not Zack. Wow, I just combined Zack Ryder and Heath Slater. Holy crap.
It's either
I
that
was
wondering or where, talking about where, Zack Slater.
No. Oh, God, no. I was kind of wondering where Heath Slater had gone to. And then I'm like, here are the Social Outcasts. And I see Heath, and I'm like, oh, that's where he went. Okay.
I'm not going to lie. That's been a fairly good idea. And they've gotten over pretty quick. Like, I mean, they get a reaction, which, again, I was talking about this earlier with the New Day. How many guys on the roster can you count on getting some type of reaction every time they go out? There's not a whole lot.
Yep.
Your United States Championship is on one of them.
Yeah. So, Mike, what did you think of the ending to this?
Well, I think I put it out on Twitter under hashtag GetBent. I was just like, man, you could have had something amazing. You had the potential to do something really great. And my friend Angry Joe said it best. You done fucked it up. Like, you know what? The rest of the Rumble, like every match before the Rumble, was entertaining. Honestly, me and Ryan were going back and forth saying, you know what, this isn't a bad pay-per-view. And then I put out on Twitter, once again, stupidity levels rising. Yeah. And at the end of it, I was like, well, my friend Matt, who was sitting here watching it with me last night, he's like, Reigns is going to come back in 20 minutes, right? I'm like, I know.
I was saying that the whole time, too. Like, yeah, you know Reigns is going to come back and eliminate a bunch of people. Yeah. Which did inevitably happen.
Yep.
I figured he was going to win, but yeah, I think everybody knows how I feel about the ending. Like, I'm not happy with it. I'm happy Reigns didn't win not from a I hate Reigns standpoint, but from a, like, seriously, are you just going to push the guy right over the entire roster in one night way, which I think would have just set things back a whole ton.
Now, let me ask you.
But they
you,
didn't
Ryan.
Do anything interesting. Why did Wyatt not win, by the way? If you're going to have the Wyatt family eliminate Brock Lesnar, then do something with them. It's pointless to just have him, okay, let's throw out the one guy that everybody is talking about being in the Rumble. Let's just throw him out, and then let's just have Bray unceremoniously thrown out a little while later.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Let me ask you, if Reigns had come in at any other position other than one, would you have felt differently far as him?
No, I'm fine. The issue with Reigns coming in at one and doing this is it wouldn't have been earned. So One of the things people criticize about Reigns is there's two things. The two big criticisms of Reigns are his mic skills, which, by the way, to his credit, I think are getting better. I don't think he's great, but I do think he's improving, and I give him full credit for that. Good job. And I think he is working on them.
At least he hasn't said suffer and succotash, son, in a number of months.
Yeah, like, give him, like, full points for that. Like, good job, like, working on it, that kind of thing. The other one he gets criticized for, though, is there's a general feeling that his work ethic is not there. Mm-hmm. And if you have that feeling after last year's Rumble, where basically he took a nap in the corner for 20 minutes, and then this year you literally let him leave and go, you know, lay down in the back for 20 minutes, mm-hmm. letting him win again would have been disastrous. Like, it just would have been, what's the point of putting in work or anything for any of these guys then? You're going to have AJ Styles spend like 50 minutes out there, outwork a ton of guys, and then you have one guy who gets to, you know, take a nap and then come out for 5 minutes and win. Although that's what Hunter did, by the way. That's the other problem, too, is this wasn't deserved for Hunter. He gets to go out at the end and just eliminate a couple guys and then leave.
Yeah.
Yippee, this was I could have done that.
Yeah, this was the wrong match for him to come back because, you know, his classic entrance music comes up. He's got his water bottle. He doesn't have his shirt on, whatever else. We all know his classic entrance is he goes up, he stands on the edge of the ring, puts his head down, the lights dim, he puts his head up, spits the water out, and he does that.
He should have done that and been eliminated, by the way. It would have been hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's one of those things where he does all his classic entrance moves as he's coming down the ring because this is the Royal Rumble. You need to get your ass in that ring. I don't know. I don't think 2016 is starting off to be a really good year for WWE as far as pay-per-views for me, and I'm kind of glad we're going to start going back and doing other WWE content on this show. Other than, we are still going to do the pay-per-views, folks, but we are going to hopefully be able to give you two episodes a month.
I'm going back to the Attitude Era. Fuck this noise.
watch some classic NWO stuff and Nitro mm-hmm. from WCW. Or, yeah.
Yep. All right, we're going to wrap this one up. Is there anything? Have they really announced anything going on? I mean, I know it's just
recording this. Because what do you do when you have a Royal Rumble, everyone's pissed off, and you have no direction in your company? Who do you call?
John Cena?
No, try again. the same one they call every time this happens.
Brock Lesnar?
No, The Rock.
Oh, no. So, seriously?
Yeah, so The Rock is on Raw tonight. Spoiler alert. Not that this will be out beforehand. He's there anyway, so I mean...
Folks, we're recording this, and this will be out before the Monday Night Raw after fucked up Rumble.
Well, it won't be out before then. We're recording it before then, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, Rock is there, so I'm assuming he's going to appear, since it's dumb to have a guy like that appear or like come to your arena and then decide, like, yeah, let's leave him off TV. Yeah. So yeah, I expect they're going to use him and the road to WrestleMania to try to drum up some... And that's the problem, isn't it? Like, instead of developing anyone new or giving somebody new a shot, what does WWE do? They trot out every old guy they can who's not full-time with the company, be it Hunter or Rock. Neil said it. Is this 1998? Are we going to see Rocky versus Hunter and Raw?
Yeah.
Stone Cold!
Let me ask you guys one last thing before we get out of here. If they had had Michaels come back as the Authority Stooge and had Michaels win instead of Hunter, and then somehow Shawn Michaels loses the belt to Dean Ambrose or whatever else, would that have been a better outcome? Instead of it having... Because like I said, with Hunter, what the fuck are they going to do? I mean... Are we going
to
have...
There's nothing you can do, and to be blunt about it, the outcome of the boss's daughter's husband winning the Rumble after being retired basically for some time just looks bad, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, hey, I have the power. I'll just throw the belt. Let's just throw the belt on me. That's a great idea. Well, yep. He should just do it once a year so he can get extra money. God. It's like when Nash was the booker for WCW. Well, who's going to carry the belt? I don't know. You know, oh, hey, Goldberg, we need him to lose to somebody. Hey, Nash, you're the booker. Who do you think it'll be? Gee, I'm going to pick me.
So this is why we need Heyman more often. But anyway, that's going to do it for this episode. Anything else to say, Mike, before we close this out?
Go Attitude Era! Fuck this noise! Right.
You suck, bookers.
You suck!
All right, next month you're going to get our first non-pay-per-view episode, and then we'll also be back for Fastlane as well. Oh, God, WWE, please get better, please.
I'm not going to lie.
Brian, where are you?
The network specials, at least, have been half decent in the past, so fuck it. Maybe I'm just being naive at this point. I keep hoping they improve, and then they find a new way to disappoint me.
Like I said, WWE. Look for me at the network version in Toronto. Hashtag I love cheese.
Yes. Mike loves cheese. Catch you next time, folks.
Come on! Oh my God! Welcome to reality!
Why is it so hot, by the way?
You're Camp WWE, man.
Woo! Now you're riding with us.
Upgrade!
Were you cool or like a douchebag at party?
Oh, definitely douchebag at party.
WWE Network, Steve Austin Show Podcast.
Talk about how you got into the business.
I got a serious question for you now.
You have a very interesting story.
Camp WWE is the most fun on earth.
It's me, it's me, Vince McMahon. Ha, ha, ha. I get all the d***. It's something funny, Big Show.
My name is...
It does not matter.
What my name is.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon. Yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.